Well, let's preach a little bit. 3 weeks ago, we talked about the miracles of Calvary, the extraordinary things that happened as Jesus was dying on the cross, the earthquake and the sun turned dark and all those things. Two weeks ago, we talked about the mystery of the 40 days, the days between the resurrection and the ascension, and a little bit of some of what happened and the purpose of those 40 days that Jesus was still here, the post-resurrection days. And then today we're going to speculate a little bit as to what Jesus might have been telling his disciples during those 40 days. We can't actually say where these are his final words. We don't really know that for sure. We know, Luke tells us in Acts 1 that Jesus said, "Stay here until you're endued with power." And then after he said that, they saw him ascend into heaven. But after, does that mean 10 minutes after or while he was saying it? Matthew tells us that he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples and teach them everything I told you." And so we've got kind of different things that kind of sum this up. Jesus assured us that he'd be with us to the end of the age. Again, Luke in his gospel tells us that he told them to be endued with power from on high. So, in fact, Luke tells us in chapter 24, he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. This is after the resurrection and before he ascends. He told them, "This is what is written: the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So Jesus took time to explain to them from Scripture what had happened, the significance of all this. So he's telling them, look, see, it was prophesied. Scripture did testify that I would die, be resurrected in 3 days, and all these things. So he showed them how it all came together. This is what this was about. And he tells them that they're to be witnesses of this new spiritual reality, that whoever now calls on the name of the Lord and puts their faith in Christ as Savior and Lord, their sins will be forgiven and they'll have new life. And he begins to speak to them about this new spiritual reality. In fact, Acts chapter 1, verse 3, Luke tells us that Jesus appeared to them over a period of 40 days and he spoke about the kingdom of God. Well, that's a pretty general statement to say he spoke about the kingdom of God, and that kind of gives me a little room to speculate this morning. So you can make up your own list of what you think Jesus covered as he spoke about the kingdom of God. Knowing that he was going to be leaving in a few days, he's giving them some essentials. I think that's what he covered. And what I'm going to tell you this morning, these are essentially things that Jesus emphasized on the last week, the Passion Week before the crucifixion. So I can't help but believe that he kind of emphasizes these things again as he talks to the disciples before he leaves. Here's the things that you need to know. This is graduation Sunday, as we've already said, in a few weeks now, a couple of months. Some of you high school grads are going to leave home for the first time, move away, leave mom and dad and go to college in another town or maybe even another state. Some of you have graduated from college and you may be leaving to begin a career in another place. In fact, if you've graduated from high school or if you graduated from college or from a grad school, would you stand so we kind of see where you're at? You're a graduate, college or high school. Just stand so we know where you are. Yeah. Congratulations. Thank you. We've got some grad school grads there, as well as some high school grads, and a lot of work. We honor you today. Well, wherever you're headed, you may be ready to go move off to begin a career somewhere else, or you're going off to college. So we can kind of direct some of these parting words to you. Here's some essentials as you embark on a new season of your life. These are essentials of the kingdom that I think Jesus shared with his disciples and that we can share with you today. So first of all, I think Jesus would tell his disciples, make sure you abide in me. In other words, don't forget the source of your life. Jesus said in John 15, I'm the vine and you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. Abide in me. He's the vine and we're the branches. I know we lost a tree out here on the storm. What night was that? Tuesday night? Whenever the 70-mile-an-hour winds were coming through, we lost a tree. And then we lost a branch off of one of those trees. And I got to tell you, it doesn't take long. a good day will do it, that if a branch comes off a tree, it dies pretty quick, doesn't it? It's not like, well, it's going to set up shop out there. It landed just right so it could start growing and putting down roots. When that branch comes off the tree, when the vine and the branch are separated, the branch dies and the vine continues to live. Jesus says, you've got to stay connected to me or you'll die. And there may come a time when you feel that, you know, I'm capable of making it on my own. After all, I'm a high school grad. I'm a college grad. I ought to be able to do this. And you kind of think, well, I can do this. I mean, I don't need God to help me with this, or I can make these decisions for myself. I mean, who needs God when you've got money or talent or education, or you've got, you know, a YouTube video to tell you how to do it or whatever. So who needs God for these things? But the truth is, you can't do it without Him. Abide in me, he says, right? Stay connected to the source. And then notice the last part of that. What's he say? Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. He didn't say, apart from me, there's some stuff you can handle. Apart from me, you'll be able to figure out a career. Or apart from me, you can find somebody to marry. Or apart from me. No, he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Get that this morning. Apart from Jesus, from abiding in Him and walking with Him and living in obedience to Him, you're going to fail in the most important aspects of your life. Apart from Jesus, you just can't do it. Well, I don't know. You can become a, you know, you can become a success. You can build a business apart from Jesus. You're going to fail in the most important aspects of your life. You hear what I'm telling you? You're going to fail in the most important aspects of your life. It's not all about making money. We just had another rock and roll guy who apparently ended his life after a concert. Supposed to be in Oklahoma. He's got money. He's got fame. He's got success. Apparently he managed to do all that on his own. But apart from me, you can do nothing, because you'll fail at the essential things of your life. Hear what I'm telling you. High school grad, or if you're 95 years old today, if we don't abide in Christ, we can't do anything. We won't make it. Life won't work. We'll fail in the most important aspects of our life. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. We have to remain in Him, abide in Him, and stay devoted to Him. And it's not just about doing what He says. It's about being in Christ. It's about Jesus being in the center of your life and of your choices and your decisions. It's about living your life in the moment with Jesus in every moment of your life. All those decisions. I mean, what you're going to do and the career you're going to build, who you're going to marry, and all those things that some of you that are just now leaving high school or college or whatever, you're making those big decisions. Jesus needs to be in every one of those decisions, or you're going to fail in the most important aspects of your life. Live your life with Jesus. The disciples had spent 3 years living with Jesus, being with Him every moment. And although He was physically leaving them, spiritually He was telling them that He would still be with them if they would abide in Him, if they would stay true to Him. It's one of the essential aspects of the Christian life. It's one of the essentials of the kingdom that we stay connected to Jesus and abide in Him. Well, another thing, another essential I think He shared with the disciples is to love one another. And if you look back at what Jesus told His disciples during the final week before His crucifixion, you'll find that love got a whole lot of attention. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you, He says. Now remain in my love. And my command is this: love each other as I've loved you. You've been loved in an extraordinary fashion. God loved you so much that He gave His only Son to die for you. Jesus loved you so much that He laid down His life for you. And now Jesus tells us to remain in His love. Don't run from it. Don't resist it. Don't ignore it. Don't try to move away from it or move out from under it. Don't reject it. Remain in His love, and it will continue to motivate you to a holy life, to right living, to Christ-honoring choices, to loving others. You see, if you remain in His love, then you know that God loves you, and then what He's telling you to do and the choices He's telling you to make, He's not trying to hurt you. He wouldn't do that because He loves you. Somebody on the journey of your life is going to say, look at me, look into my eyes. Do you believe that I love you? Right? And she'll bat her eyes a little bit or whatever. But anyway, And you're going to say, yeah, I believe that you love me. And then they're going to say, then trust me. Trust me. I'm asking you to do this. You can trust me because you know that I love you. That means I want your best. If you abide in His love, then if He says, I want you to take your son and your wife and I want you to go to the north of China and work among this Tibetan province or whatever. Now, Sean, you know that I love you, and you say, yeah, Jesus, I know you love me. Then you can trust me. If you abide in His love, then I don't have to go, wait a minute, you're going to mess with me. You're going to get me up there and something bad's going to happen. He's saying, no, do you believe that I love you? If you remain in His love, you can live in obedience to what He calls you to if you remain in His love. Stay in love with Jesus. Let His love direct your steps. It's one of the essential aspects of living for Him. Don't ignore it, but embrace it, and it'll lead you to Christ-honoring choices and to right living. And you see, it's not just that He loved us. In John 13, Jesus tells His disciples He's going to give them a new commandment. They must have been thinking, man, you talk about boldness. He's going to give us an 11th commandment. We already got 10. He's given us one more. This is going to be the big stuff now. And they're all ready to write it down. And Jesus says, a new commandment I give you. Love one another. As I've loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. They're thinking, that's it? That's the new commandment? Yeah, and we're still struggling with it, aren't we? To love one another. This is essential. Love one another unconditionally and completely and sacrificially. Love one another and go the extra mile for one another and forgive one another and be patient with one another. Show kindness to one another. Love one another. Love God and love each other. Tear down the walls and build bridges of love. And Jesus says, this is how everyone will know that you're my disciples. Not by the bumper sticker or the t-shirt you wear or the Christian rock and roll that you listen to on the radio, but by your love for one another. Put your faith in action by loving others. Care about each other. Serve one another in love. And how God must grieve when He sees all the walls and the division and strife and fights and quarreling and dishonesty and all that stuff between His children. It's essential, church, that we love one another. It's what He calls us to. And we have to love across racial lines and denominational lines and national lines and political lines and ethnic lines and class lines. We're simply called to love one another. And we figure out how that's to be expressed. And if loving one another isn't enough, that's within the body of Christ, then just to show you how radical it is, the love of Jesus, He tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Love your enemies. I got to tell you, you don't want to post that you're loving your enemies on Facebook, on social media, because your friends will chew you up. They'll be unfriending you left and right. I can't believe you'd say that. What have you done? I mean, just going bananas over that if you talk about loving your enemies. You know, well, you know, we need to pray for them. I'm not praying. Some of you, it's a tough room, isn't it? Down here, it's a tough crowd. It was tough up here, wasn't it? Man, I don't know. Anyway, I'm just telling you, this is what Jesus said. This is an essential that we're to love our enemies. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for them. Pray that God will reveal His mercy and grace through the love that you show. Pray for them, even those that persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, that you'll look like children of God when you love one another. It's an essential, heaven help us, that we've got to love one another and we've got to love our enemies as well. And then here's another essential I think the Lord might have told them, and that is don't be shocked when trouble comes. Here's what Jesus told the disciples the week before the crucifixion. All this I've told you so that you will not go astray. All right. So He's setting them up here. I've told you all this so that when the trouble comes, you're not going to go, I don't get it. I don't know how God could let this happen. I mean, I love God. I've served the Lord. I've heard it a million times. I don't understand. They were so good. My parents were so faithful. They never did anything wrong. How could God let this happen? And Jesus says, I've told you this so you won't go astray. All right. Not that you're going to miss the doctrine, but that you're going to doubt God's sovereign purpose and that ultimate love that He has. So He says, I'm telling you this so you won't go astray. And then He says, just so you know, in the coming days, they'll put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he's offering a service to God, think they're doing God a favor by taking out mean, hateful people like you Christians. And they'll do such things because they've not known the Father or me. He says, I've told you this so that when the time comes, you'll remember that I warned you. So that when the time comes and trouble comes or persecution comes or something bad happens and somebody says, I just don't understand, then somebody else can say, well, you know, it wasn't like he didn't warn us because he said right there that probably this was going to happen. Somebody was going to put us out of the synagogue. Can you imagine? You know, Paul and Silas or Peter and John or whoever, any of them, suddenly thrown in stocks like, I can't believe this is happening. I thought he said ask anything in his name and we're out of here. I don't understand how this is happening. And one of them says, don't you remember? It's just a few weeks ago he said, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to warn you about this. Some of this stuff's going to happen. And this is so you won't go astray. So I think we're just going to need to trust God and pray. And who knows, maybe he'll deliver us out of this. And the next thing you know, he's delivering them out of this. Don't be shocked if trouble comes. Don't be shocked. Don't be shocked when lines are drawn and you have to decide which side you're going to stand on, whether it's on the side where you're standing with Jesus or whether you're standing against him. Because understand and hear what I'm saying this morning, obedience to God and his word is going to put you at odds with the value system of the world. And the world will label you as intolerant and exclusive rather than inclusive. The world will label you as obstructionist and bigots and worse. Don't look to the world for justice or understanding because it won't be there. But don't be shocked and don't panic when the world turns against you. Look to Jesus because he's the one they sang about this morning that's a way maker. He's the one who makes a way where there seems to be no way. He's the one who said, yeah, you'll have some trouble, but I've overcome the world. He's the one who said, don't let your heart be troubled. He's the one who in his word says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. Believe in the one who still delivers and brings us through the stuff that happens. I wish I could tell you that there's no problems ahead for you, but the truth is there's no such thing as an unchallenged life. I wish I could tell these high school grads and college grads, it's going to be smooth sailing. You got an education and man, you're looking good. You're standing tall. It's going to be awesome. And it very well may be, but there's going to be some stuff happen in your life. It's just the way this is. There'll be challenges. There'll be trouble. And there'll be a day when you feel like giving up or throwing in the towel. And Jesus didn't want his disciples to be blown away when trials came to them and their faith was tested. He didn't want then, and he still doesn't want it to happen to us today. Students that are heading to college in the fall, you're going to find opposition to your testimony and to your Christian values everywhere, on the campus, in the classroom, and in the dorm. It's just out there. Don't be surprised if professors belittle your faith or classmates pressure you to compromise. And whether you're in a state school or a Christian school, you may find the same thing. Don't be shocked when trouble comes or when your faith is tested. Remember Jesus' words, all this I've told you so that you will not go astray. Stay strong, stand strong, remain faithful, and keep serving Jesus. And the pressure that you're going to feel on the campus or the pressure you'll experience on a job to compromise your faith or whatever, it's nothing compared to the pressure and persecution and trouble the disciples were going to face. It's one thing to have a professor say he's going to give you a bad mark. It's another to have somebody say they're going to crucify you upside down like they did Peter. So I can't really compare the two, but Jesus didn't want any of us to go astray or to buckle under the pressure or to give up when trouble came. So he told his disciples later, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, be encouraged. I have overcome the world. Trust in the Lord and know that through Christ you're an overcomer. Jesus has overcome the world and so have you, so will you, so shall you if you abide in him and keep doing what he's called you to do. Then the next essential is to stay full of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus spoke repeatedly of the importance of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. So he tells them in John 16, I'm going to him who sent me. And because I've said these things, you're filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away. Because unless I go away, the Counselor won't come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. And Jesus, in a couple of chapters there in the middle in John, is talking about the Holy Spirit. It's an essential body of teaching there. And he refers to the Holy Spirit as the Counselor or the Comforter. It comes from a Greek word, parakletos, that means one called alongside to help us. So Jesus is telling us, he refers to him as the Spirit of Truth, but in another place he says to them, you'll know him because he's been with you and will dwell in you. The Holy Spirit comes to reside in us, the Counselor, the Comforter. Jesus calls him the Spirit of Truth who would dwell with them and who would guide them into all truth. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will remind you of the things that I've said to you and taught you. Your eyes will be opened with understanding to the Scripture. The Holy Spirit will point to Jesus and bring glory to Him. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will be the one who speaks of the things yet to come. So you'll know and discern the time and know what to do. He'll empower you to be witnesses of Jesus to the ends of the earth. And He'll confirm the truth of God's Word with signs that will follow the believer in the preaching of God's Word. So no wonder Luke records on one occasion while he was eating with them, Jesus gave them this command, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Don't ignore the role of the Holy Spirit in your life, the importance of having the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Tune in to what the Holy Spirit is doing and saying in your life today and every day. He wants to teach you. He wants to lead you into God's truth. He wants to comfort and sustain you in the hard times. He'll empower you to live the life to which God has called you. He'll empower you to be a witness for Jesus. He'll empower you to live that holy life. He'll empower you, power to live and power to serve and to be all that He's called you to be. So trust the Holy Spirit. Stay tuned into the Spirit and look to Him to lead you in the choices of your life. It's essential. It was for the disciples. It was for the early church. And it still is for us today. How we need the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And here's the last thing I think Jesus shared with His disciples and that He shares with us today. And that is to stay connected to the church. Jesus ascended into heaven at the end of those 40 days. 10 days later on what we call the day of Pentecost, coming up here in just a couple of weeks. He poured out His Spirit upon the disciples as He promised. And with power then, Jesus birthed His church. And listen to what Luke says about some of the first days of the life of believers. This is after the day of Pentecost and several thousand come into the church and the disciples are continuing to preach. And Luke says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Now look at this. He says, and all the believers were together and they had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together. And with glad and sincere hearts, they praised God. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Jesus intended that His followers would be devoted to Him, to His teaching, and to each other. He intended that we would be united in relationship and in fellowship and in our mission to serve God and to share the message of Jesus with the whole world. He intended that we share our lives, our possessions, and our resources with each other. We're to be the body of Christ, connected to one another as a body should be in a loving relationship. And trust me, your body doesn't function correctly if the parts aren't connected properly and properly relating to one another. You just can't do it if those parts aren't working together. Right? Am I right or am I right? I was reminded this morning, first service, in 1999, just after the tornado, we had just come back and I fell down a flight of stairs at our house out there in Berry Hill where Jeff and Marisha lived. So I tore the quadricep. I've got a scar that runs kind of like that to repair that thing. So laying at the bottom of the stairs, I thought, I've really messed something up here. I couldn't get up. We called Daryl and a couple of the guys, New York guys, came out to try to get me up off the floor. And I mean, it was hurting big time. And they got there and kind of looked and said, we're afraid we're going to kill you or something. And we just don't think we can move you. And so we just need to call an ambulance. So an ambulance came, got a ride in an ambulance. You know, it's just as loud outside as inside as it is outside. You'd think they'd, anyway. So So by the time I get home, you know, crutches and all that, and finally get to the doctor, well, I end up having to kind of, all the bedrooms are upstairs at that house, and so I managed to scoot up the stairs and get over to the bed, and I reached behind and pulled myself up where I was, you know, kind of sitting on the bed. But if your quadriceps torn, you can't lift your leg. Yeah, it's really an unfortunate thing. And so, I mean, you can strain all you want to, but that dude is not coming up there. And so I had to physically pick my leg up and lift it up to get it on the bed. And I remember laying there thinking, well, you know, I mean, they're telling me a surgeon can fix this, but if this happened 100 years ago, what would you do? You're just that guy dragging, there's that old guy dragging his leg everywhere, you know? I mean, that's all you can do because it can't move. You know why? Because it's not properly connected to the rest of the body. All right? And what I'm telling you about the church is we need to be connected to the other parts of the body so we can function correctly. And there's a thing kind of happening in the church world today where people are kind of like, you know, I'm a Christian and I believe in Jesus and I love Him, but I'm just not too crazy about the body, so I'm just not going to be a part of the church. I'm going to love Jesus, but I'm not a part of the church. And I got to tell you, that's not healthy for you and it's not healthy for the body because we're all supposed to be connected. And when that rebellion happens, so when your left arm says, I just don't want to be a part anymore, you go ahead. No. You're fine. Go ahead. Be the body. But I'm just not going with you. That sucker's going to get bumped a lot, okay? And you're going to constantly be going, well, let's talk about it, all right? And you're having to sling that around somewhere and all that. Just get connected and stay connected. It's not that tough, all right? But when we cut ourselves off, we're not part of the body. They put you in a jar. They'll call you a specimen. Here's a specimen. But he's not part of the body because he's not alive anymore, all right? We cut him off and put him in a jar of formaldehyde and we show people, here's a guy who cut himself off from the body. That's not how this works. I'm just telling you, we need each other and we function when we're connected to one another. Graduates, you need each other. High school graduates, just because you're leaving Taggy doesn't mean you're leaving the church, all right? Stay connected. Get with Pastor Brian. Stay connected with the life of this church. If you're heading off to college or starting a career in a new place, make it a priority. Get connected to church. I talked to a young man yesterday that told me where he was going to school. I said, man, we got a great Chi Alpha program there, you know. And so get connected. Find a Chi Alpha program. Find a church where you can, I'm going to be here going to school. And plug in, man. It may be the best thing that ever happened. Get connected to the life of the church. If you're headed to start a new career or wherever in another place, find a church, get connected. It blows my mind. I'll have people say, well, we're visiting your church today. Where do you go? Well, you know, we don't really have it. We haven't found the right church yet. You know, well, how long did you just move to town? How long have you lived in Tulsa? 9 years. So you've been looking for 9 years. My goodness. You could have been to every church and synagogue in town in 9 years. You haven't found anything? Well, we're just still looking. If you're here and you've been looking for 9 years, well, just stop looking, all right, today. This is your place. But what I'm telling you is, come on, find a place. Well, we're looking for a perfect church. You'll mess it up as soon as you join, all right? They were on a run. They were on a roll until you moved in there. There's not a perfect church. There's just it's all God's got to deal with is folks like us, okay? People that went to Bible school and stuff. So just plug in and see if you can't make it better, you know. But get connected in the life of the church. Again, the idea of being a Christian and not being part of the church is not a biblical concept. It's just not. It's just not there. I'm just telling you, you can't do this on your own. You know, well, I'm not a social person. Well, you don't have to be a social person, but you need to connect to a church. You're going to need it at some point in time. People that have no affiliation with a church or whatever, I know they don't understand. Like, what's the point? Don't you just show up and somebody talks and then they ask you for money or whatever? Well, it's not exactly like that, is it? But they are the people that show up when everything falls apart in your life, and they're the people when things are going right in your life. They're going to be there. And you're going to need a church more than you think you do. And so get connected and stay connected. And the relationships you've got, look, take it from a guy who's been in the same church for 50 years. It's the best thing you ever do is connect to a church. and to have those godly relationships in your life. You won't do it on your own. You can't. So connect and stay connected. Well, that's the essentials. That's my list anyway. I think when Jesus is talking to him about the kingdom, he reminded him of these things. Abide in me. Love one another. Don't be shocked if trouble comes. Keep trusting him. Stay full of the Holy Spirit. Stay connected to the church, because it's how we're going to make it through whatever life throws at you, whatever comes, what may. If you'll stay, if you'll abide in him and love one another, stay connected to the church, stay full of the Holy Spirit. Don't be shocked. You're going to make it. God's got great plans for you. He's got great plans for these graduates. He's got great plans for his church. Pastor Jeff's told you every service probably that you've been in back there, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, to give you hope, to give you a future. God's got a good plan for you. Stay connected to the source of that life and continue to live for him. Amen? Let's stand together this morning. Can we give thanks to God this morning? Lord, I thank you for your purposes. I thank you for the essentials that we can obey and follow you. And Lord, I want to make sure this morning that I'm abiding in you, that I'm serving you and living for you. Show me how to do that. Show me how to abide in you, Lord. Show me how to love one another even more than I have, not just with my words, but with my actions, to truly love one another. Lord, some of us here today, we've encountered some stuff in the last week or month or year or whatever that it was almost shocking. We just didn't expect that we were going to have trouble like this that came to us. But you warned us that in the world we would have trouble. But then you told us to be encouraged, to be of good heart, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Thank you, Lord, that in Christ we too are overcomers. And that whatever the enemy's thrown at us, whatever the trouble that's come, whatever the bad report that came in, whatever the crisis that's come to us, we're not going to be dismayed. We're not overwhelmed by that. We're not shocked by it. We knew trouble was going to come, but you've overcome the world and we'll overcome as well. Help us, Lord, to tune in to the work of the Holy Spirit, to stay full of the Spirit. Lord, come and just pour your Spirit out in us and on us and through us, Lord, that truly you'll guide us into truth, Lord, that you'll show us the things ahead and we'll know how to respond, that we'll walk in obedience to you as your Holy Spirit is alive in us. And Lord, grant us the grace and the wisdom to stay connected to your church. And Lord, if folk are visiting today, if it's not this church, just help them to connect to the right place, the place that's right for them, where they can grow, where their relationships can grow, where they can be a blessing and they can bless others. Lord, I pray for your grace and mercy to keep us as your church. Jesus, you said you would build your church and not even the gates of hell would prevail against it. Help us to be effective in your hands as you build us to be the people you've called us to be. May your mercy and your grace be upon us today as we serve you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Amen. Bless somebody as you go this morning. Be back tonight to honor our graduates. Have a blessed day. We'll see you Wednesday night, if not before. Well, tonight. Amen.